Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the second year in a row.
We tell you over and over again that you're wonderful, and you just don't get it. What's wrong with you?
Congratulations, Jim Blasingame, our small business advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. And I'm excited about having Karen Cortell Reisman back on the show because she's one of my favorite folks in the Brain Trust. And she's one of the ladies who, one of the folks who helps us make sure that we put our best foot forward when we enter the marketplace. She is the author of a CD series called Letters from Einstein, Equations for Change. And she helps us understand the people around us, how to communicate better with them. And she's our good friend. Karen, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's always a pleasure to have you back on the show, Karen. And I know you. I know it's kind of interesting that that today you had already told me that you wanted to talk about what you consider to be the number one communication skill that will increase our productivity. And you're going to spring that on us in just a little bit. But isn't it interesting? Isn't it fortuitous that that you want to talk about communication during the week that we're celebrating the life of someone who's has been called the great communicator, President Ronald Reagan.
That's right. And I also told you that I left you in suspense. I didn't tell you what the skill that
I'm sitting on the edge of my chair. I'm waiting with bated breath.
I know, and I said it's a skill that we have to use in order to increase our productivity, in order to communicate effectively. And it's something that we all know about, and we do not do that effectively. However, our departed 40th president, Ronald Reagan, did this so well. And are you at the edge of your seat?
I'm waiting with bated breath.
It's to be an effective listener. Part of being a great communicator is shutting up and listen. He was an effective listener. He would glean what was important and what other people were saying, and then he would use that message when he would do his presentations to the public, and that's why the public loved him so much.
Sometimes he would use it against the other person.
Well, he was very, very smart in that way.
Yeah.
He was an effective listener, and it's a skill that we all know about. We all know that it is so important, and yet it's very difficult to do.
It's one of the main things that I think you've got to do if you're going to be an effective listener is you've got to dial down your own ego, and you got also have to have a, you have to care about the other person. And that's one of the things I do think Ronald Reagan did. I do think he cared about the other person in front of him, don't you?
That's exactly right. To be effective, you must come to the table with two items. You must come with curiosity and a caring attitude. And for all of us, whether we are practicing dentistry, we're a lawyer, we're a computer fixer, you have got to come to that table with curiosity and a caring attitude and let the other person know that, because the other person that comes to you is anxious, whether they're getting their crown placed in their mouth or they have some kind of legal issue or their computer just had a virus. They're coming to you in an anxious situation. And what we need to do is be caring and be curious and listen to the other person as they're going through their anxious situation. And that is something that Ronald Reagan did effectively when he was our president for 8 years.
And, you know, you just it's interesting that you use the word curious, because a lot of people wouldn't think that being a great communicator would involve being curious. But I can't help but think about some of my early training in salesmanship back in the dark ages, Karen.
Mm-hmm.
And what they taught us, what I was taught to do by Xerox, actually, was to use the five interrogatives: who, what, when, where, how, and why. Was that six? Five or six of those.
Who, what, where, when, why. No, that's five.
That's good. Who, what, when, where, how, and why. And the thing is that that even if, you know, what my point is, Karen, is some people have a real hard time really caring about what you say. They really have a hard time being interested in you and really caring about you. They really do, and they can't help it. But if I think that the way to help those people is to do what you said. And the way to way to show your curiosity is to ask your questions with the first word of that question being one of those interrogatives.
I have a listening checklist that's similar to yours that I'd like our listeners to hear, but then I will have a caveat at the end.
All right.
And our checklist this morning is, this will make the other person think you're really listening. If you nod, smile, of course this is in when you're in person, nod, smile, paraphrase, look, encourage, and ask questions. And as I just said, of course if this is in person, but no, I mean, look at us on the phone. We are doing the same thing except for the eye contact.
You ought to see me doing this show. I mean, I'm pointing and gesturing and everything. I can't help it. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Karen Cortell Reisman. It's 22. I'm Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with us today. My website is www.jbsba.com. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And if you do it this week, you will get the edition that's got the article that I wrote called Leadership Lessons from Ronald Reagan. And I think you'll enjoy those. And so check that out when you get a chance. And don't forget all the other things you can do there, including going back and listening to some past interviews that we've conducted with our good friend and our guest this half hour, Karen Cortell Reisman. You can go to find her on in our Brain Trust, and you can go there and listen to some of the past archives. And the one that we're doing today will be up by the end of the day. So,
well, thank you.
You're all over our website there, Karen, and we're glad.
And you're on mine. You're on my website.
I appreciate that.
That goes directly to these wonderful interviews off of my website.
That's good. I appreciate that. And Karen, tell us about your CD.
My CDs, I have several. One's called Speak to Win, How to Really Get Your Message Across. Not just giving a presentation in front of a lectern or behind a lectern. That's not what we're out there doing. But how to communicate effectively, whether you're doing voicemail or you're talking to a client one-on-one. Another CD is called Letters from Einstein, Equation for Change, that you mentioned earlier in the program.
Mm-hmm.
He is a relative in my family, and utilizing his personal correspondence, this is an inspirational message about how we can all overcome change in our lives with hope and humor and dignity.
And they can find these at your website.
They sure can.
Which is
what you want to say it or you want
I want
me
you to.
Say it?
Go ahead.
The triple W's dot speak for yourself.
Speakforyourself.com. It's a great website, folks. Check it out. And anything that Karen does is top shelf. And it's Karen Cortell Reisman. And Karen, you were talking to us about curiosity. I really am glad you brought that into this thing. Folks, I hope you'll just stop and think about that for a minute. To communicate, to be a great communicator, Karen says one of the great things that you need to have is curiosity. And you know, Karen, I think If somebody said, you know, what do you think is your best characteristic? I'd have to say about myself, I'd have to say it would be my curiosity, but sometimes it gets me into trouble. You know, like the cat. And the reason I say this is because whenever I meet somebody, I sometimes find that I want to know so much about them that I wonder if I'm wearing them out.
Well, here's the exercise.
Because I ask them so many questions.
Here's the exercise. You're absolutely right. Utilizing what you do, this is the exercise I want our listeners to do today. When you enter into any conversation, I want you to listen to what the other person has said and then continue to ask questions about whatever it is they said.
Mm-hmm.
And then with each question you ask, your partner will keep talking, and then you keep asking a question about whatever they last said. It's very, very hard to do because you want to interject your own thoughts, your own memories, and your own feelings about whatever it is they're talking about. But if you keep doing this, at the end of a conversation, which could go on and on because people love talking about themselves,
right.
At the end of the conversation, this happened to me recently. I was speaking for a dental association, and I was talking to a meeting planner, and I did this type of thing where I had this person talking to me solely about his life and his experiences, and at the end of the conversation, he looked over at me, and I had said very, very little. He said, "I have really enjoyed this conversation. You are a wonderful conversationalist. You will find, I want you, Jim, I want everybody we're listening to, I want you to do this exercise today, and you will be discovered as the best conversationalist, and people will love you and want to do business with
and
you.
And they'll never say
want
you're
to
a great.
Hire you.
They'll never say you're a great listener. They'll just say you're a great conversationalist.
They'll say you are a wonderful conversationalist. You are a great communicator.
It is a great way to
nothing but ask questions.
Well, and even if, I will say that it's important when you're having a conversation. It is important to do your part, and it's colorful, and it adds value to the conversation if you can throw in something about some anecdote or whatever about yourself as you're doing this. But I think the key to doing that, to keep it so that it doesn't sound like you're just interviewing them, is to whenever you do throw in your own anecdotes, keep them very short and turn it right back
around.
Right. On
I was
them.
Just going to say, keep it short.
Keep it short.
And
it'll hurt. Now it will hurt sometimes because you want to tell them the whole encyclopedia of that story, but you got to keep it short. And now what's funny, Karen, and I don't know if you had this to happen before, but I have. But whenever you get two guys like Jim Blasingame together, or two ladies like Karen Cortell Reisman together, and they both know the same skills, they both are trying to do the same thing. Have you ever had that to happen
yes,
before?
Yes, absolutely.
That's funny.
This client wanted me to talk about me, and I only wanted to talk about him. It was as if we were doing this volleyball game.
It's like nobody would go through the door.
and I won. I managed to get him to talk about him because he was my client. I was doing a leadership seminar in Miami, and I wanted to hear more about him. That would be helpful to me when I. After he introduced me to talk about what I'd learned about him.
This is,
this is
a good exercise in all elements, all aspects of human interaction, whether it be on a date, whether it be on a job interview, whether it be, and especially when you're selling somebody something, when you have something to sell, if you're on the other side of the desk, it's a wonderful thing. It's classic. It's tried and true. It is the standard. It's the gold standard for being an effective salesperson is to get the other person to talk first. Tin Till, we'll be right back with Karen Cortell Reisman. Stay with us. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, Douglas Brinkley, the presidential historian, is going to be here. And then after that, we're going to be visiting with John Fox and John Vertu, and then Noah St. John, and then Dolph DeRoos. And I'll tell you more about them a little bit later on. Let's get back to our good friend Karen Cortell Reisman and her website, speakforyourself.com. And Karen, your letters from Einstein, Equations for Change, that's one CD that's available. And tell me the other one, I don't have it in front of me.
It's called Speak to Win, How to Really Get Your Message Across.
And that's at speakforyourself.com. Karen,
that's right. And then, okay, go ahead.
I was going to say, I wanted you to relist the points that you made earlier in the hour. I want you to repeat them again.
I will. I also want to say that in your article that you wrote about Ronald Reagan in your current newsletter, you talked about leaders believe in people. And that dovetails so beautifully with my list of how you can listen in an active way, because that makes people think that you believe in them. And that list is nodding your head, smiling, or just not, you don't have to smile like the village idiot, but just to have a pleasant look on your face, paraphrasing what the other person has said, looking at the other person so you have effective eye contact, encouraging the other person to keep on talking, and then to ask those questions. But I want to go one step further.
Can I stop you for a second on paraphrasing?
Sure.
I think a lot of people might not really know. They may never have done that before. They probably, once they understand it, they'll recognize it. But this is not always easy. This takes a little bit of skill. But that's just, maybe it's just a natural thing that happens. But when someone says something to you, if you don't quite understand it, or if you want to know a little bit more about it, just say, so let me see if I got this straight. You said so-and-so. Is that right? Is that how you see paraphrasing?
Exactly. You do a little mini summary of what they've just said. For example, you have just wanted more clarification about how to paraphrase and how to do it in a way that sounds subtle. And this list is an active listening checklist. But I want to go one step further before we end my portion, and that is I want it to be authentic. I don't want it to be fake. I don't want it to sound like you're just a robot trying to listen. And you become more authentic when we go back to what we talked about at the very beginning of our time together, and that is when you show that you really are curious and you really do care about what the other person's saying. And if you do those two aspects, then you turn into something that's not manipulative and into somebody that will really become more effective as a communicator, will absolutely affect your bottom line.
Well, there's no question about that. And I'll tell you, everything that Karen has told you today is an absolute wonderful blueprint to take in a networking event. Isn't
That's
it, Karen?
Exactly right.
When you're meeting new people and you know, if you go into a networking event looking for business, go into it looking to meet new people and to learn about them. And if you go in with that attitude and with the things that the tips that Karen gave you, you'll be a successful networker, and that's how you get directly to the bottom line from there.
So what you've just said is that these skills are fabulous for networking, they're fabulous in our personal lives, and they're fabulous in our business lives.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I've just paraphrased.
Right, exactly.
Example of paraphrasing.
Well, and the thing is people like, you talked about people like hearing, talking about themselves, they like hearing you say what they've just said, especially if you can say something like, you know, I hadn't thought about that. That's a great way to put it. It's all about lifting the other person up. That's the way to be a good communicator, isn't it? Rather than getting your point across, lifting them up with what they've said.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Karen, we got about a minute. Last thoughts.
I have a client who did this exercise with clients on presentation skills, and she used that listening exercise in a large auditorium setting, and the results are when you just stop and ask questions of the other person. And what I'd like for everybody to do today, I want to remind them, I want you all to listen to the other person and continue to ask great questions that show that you care and show that you're curious, and then you will be seen as a very authentic conversationalist. And good luck to all of us.
Yeah. Karen Cortell-Reisman, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thank you, Jim. I look forward to coming back.
We'll get you back real soon. Don't forget our website, folks, speakforyourself.com. Karen Cortell-Reisman. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your hard work and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. This program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.